So we've been talking for a while now about how to plug the state government's $2.2 billion budget gap, and with some annoyance with the state assembly, but that would not be the first time. With us this morning is a guy who probably faces that same annoyance every day. He is the Speaker of the House for the Pennsylvania State Assembly. Has not been with us for a while, but it's good to have him back. He is Speaker Mike Terzai. Speaker, great to have you on the show again. Good morning to you.
Gary, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you aboard here, Mike. I saw you had some movement last night. You approved a no new taxes borrowing package to help plug this $2.2 billion budget gap. Talk a little bit about what the Republicans came up with last night here in trying to fashion something.
Yes. Gary, would it be okay if I just provided, from my perspective, a little background, and I'll be brief about it.
Sure.
If that worked. We in the House passed in April a budget that spent significantly less than what the Senate had sent over to us, about $500 million to $600 million less. We passed that in April. In addition, we had passed two revenue sources that were essentially not tax revenue sources. One was expanded gaming. We had just come to the conclusion that the casinos had had, that it's a gaming state, the casinos had had free reign in the Commonwealth, and that small businesses and tavern owners should have the opportunity to see a legal video poker game. And the projection was is that was going to bring in about $350 million in additional revenue. Further, you know that many of us, it's not me alone, many of us want to see the full system of wine and spirits going into the private sector. Amongst other proposals, our chairman, Adam Harris, had put together a proposal that would do these franchise stores and essentially let, in addition to the grocery stores expansion, letting stores sell, you know, certain stores buy liquor stores so that they could sell wine and spirit. And that would have brought in $250 million if those would have gotten set up. Now, the Senate didn't want to do either of them. They sat on both of those proposals and still are sitting on those proposals. Also, how did we get to a $1.1 billion hole? 4 years under Governor Corbett, we constrained our spending, we didn't increase taxes, and we never had a deficit going into the next year. Even in the first year after the taxpayers won the budget battle with Wolf, and we held the spending at around $30 billion, now we had to pass the budget four times to get him to once again just allow it to become law. But we spent about $1 billion less than he was pushing, and we didn't have a deficit for 16-17. Now, the interesting thing is in 16-17, we actually agreed to increase tobacco taxes and to put a tax on smokeless. We predicted we'd raise $750 million in recurring revenue, and we got $750 million in recurring revenue. But the governor set with his budget secretary the estimates higher than any other governor would do, and we ended up having a shortfall for his spending because he had pegged the revenue estimates higher than what any prudent person would do. Now, every governor, when they have found shortfall in the revenue, has withheld certain spending because a budget is an up-to frame, an up-to landmark. You don't have to spend all the money that's been appropriated. If the revenues aren't coming in, what most governors do is say, well, we're not going to spend here, here, and here so that we can match the revenues. My understanding is from our appropriations staff, Governors Schweiker, Rendell, and Corbett all did that. This governor would not do it. So he spent dollars he did not have, and the treasurer's office continued to advance money to cover that spending for which the revenues were not coming in.
Right.
Thus create a $1.1 billion hole, which we have never seen going into 17-18. Now, the additional monies are for spend that the governor wanted to have. And I think that needs to get revisited. But what this does is it takes that tobacco settlement annuity. There was a settlement quite some time ago with the Attorney General. Mike Fisher was the Attorney General at the time. We get about $350 million annually in money from these tobacco settlement funds. Now, the Senate, what they did was basically borrow against that money, float a bond, and then pay it off with these proceeds over 30 years. What the proposal in the House does is akin to that, but somewhat different. We take that stream of revenue, some portion of those tobacco settlement funds, and sell them to a purchaser for a one-time lump sum. Either way, you're taking a one-time lump sum, whether you're borrowing it and paying it off with interest, principals, and fees, or whether you're selling that stream and taking the lump sum, except that the risk is shifted to the purchaser, whereas when you're borrowing it, the risk is still with the Commonwealth. And then we have special fund transfers. Many of your members, Garrett, down your way, I hope I'm not going to forget any of them, but Dan Saylor, the Appropriations Chair, Seth Grove, Kristen Phillips Hill,
right.
Kate Klein, Will Tallman, I mean Dan Mao from neighboring Adams County.
Representative Klunk, I think, is in there. Yeah,
Kate Klunk. That group of legislators, amongst others, it was like a group of about 25 to 30 legislators, said, we have 218 accounts that are offline.
And I'm going to jump in on you very quickly here because I have to run to a break. Let's come back and pick up with that because that's something I want to specifically ask you about this morning.
Yeah.
Speaker of the House in the Pennsylvania State Assembly, Mike Terzai, with us this morning. We'll come back and find out what is going on to plug that $2.2 billion gap that's holding up the budget. We're with the Pennsylvania State Assembly Speaker of the House, Mike Terzai, here this morning. We're talking about plugging this $2.2 billion hole in the budget so we can finally have a budget. And you were talking about the 218 accounts there, Mike, and one of the things that was really interesting to me is when Kristen Phillips Hill was on with us last week a couple of times and came up, and they came up with that idea of, you know, we have a whole bunch of accounts up there, some of which are dormant. I've heard any estimate from $9.5 billion to $12 billion in those accounts. And I said, why is that not a scandal that we've got that kind of taxpayer money sitting around right now, in some cases not really doing anything? How dare anybody say they're going to raise the taxes on Pennsylvanians when you got that kind of money sitting around? So you take it away from there.
Well, Gary, I have to tell you, I think you are right on point. And it's interesting. I am a detail person, but I do not know the details to the extent that Kristen Phillips Hill or Kate Klunk or Seth Grove, Sam Saylor, and the rest of your
right.
delegation
right.
knows them. But I know them pretty well because they've done such a thorough Don Kiefer. I didn't mention Don Kiefer. She, too, was a instrumental with Dan Mao and Will Tallman as well.
Keith Gillespie's in there, I think, too. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Keith Gillespie as well. I apologize. Thank you for bringing up Keith, too. Because they were all really the core group coming out of York and Adams County.
Right.
And then they expanded it across the state. I just have to give them that kind of credit. Because the work was really yeoman. But we all have known that there are these special fund accounts outside the budget. A significant number of them have their own revenue streams. Revenue streams like that, where the money, they collect a fee or a tax that comes into that fund, and we do not even spend it in the General Assembly. It's either spent by local government in some instances that we at one time approved the tax or the fee, and that amounts to I think it's a little over $6.5 billion that come into these funds on an annual basis that are not appropriated by the General Assembly. They were once voted upon, but on an annual basis, they're not appropriated by the General Assembly. It's all offline.
Well, let me just jump in there for a second before you go on with that. And here's the thing, and I told Governor Corbett this one time, and I would say the same thing to you. You know, whether it's a fee or whether it's a tax, the money's still the same color, and it's still coming from the same place. And that's the point that most people, so people are saying, I don't care if it's coming through local, I don't care if it's coming through what, you know, we're still the only source you're ever going to have for money that's going to be paid out. And so, you know, you get tired of kind of this sleight of hand kind of thing, you know, with the P game going on sometimes in the state assembly.
Oh my God, Gary, you're right on. I'm telling you, you're right on. You know, somebody said, well, why are you now looking at it? And I said, you know, I suspect a lot of people have always questioned the special funds. I mean, that has consistently occurred. And we've always done some transfers from the special funds. Typically what you have in front of you when you're doing a balanced budget, which we've always done, is you look at what your revenues are that are coming in. You prioritize your spending accordingly. And if you're looking for something along the margins, say an increase for those with intellectual disabilities, and year after year, Republicans and Democrats have used some element of those special funds,
right,
but at a lower number, and on an annual basis. But the fundamental question really comes into a spotlight when, given that the governor didn't put money aside and just let it come to $1.1 billion, then you've got to look for a one-time fix to a one-time problem. You're going to hope that this is an aberration, right? Like, yeah. I mean, we're hoping it is.
And I just have about one minute left with you, so go ahead. Yep.
Why wouldn't you look at these funds, many of that have no Democratic review on an annual basis?
Well, and a number of which I understand are dormant right now. Yeah.
Yes, that's accurate. That is completely accurate.
So how do you not, I mean, how is there not a way then to go and say, listen, we've got taxpayer money sitting here, not being used essentially for anything right now. You know, how do you get through the machinery to get that then transferred into, okay, here's the $1 billion you're going to, and I saw in the deal last night, the $1 billion loan that you're going to get. Well, instead of it being a loan, why not a transfer and say, here's money that's being put to use now that's taxpayer money that otherwise would be sitting there doing nothing?
Gary, I think you're dead on point. And I mean, that's the point that the Republicans are made yesterday with a majority vote in the House. I mean, we had 103 members. Keep in mind, Gary, when the Senate passed their tax plan, their tax increase plan, increases on natural gas usage in your home and in businesses, increases in electric bills in your home and businesses, increases in your telephone usage in your home and businesses. Like you said, one group of people paying all those taxes. They're significant increases. Those tax increases only passed with 14 Republican votes in the state Senate out of 34 Republican senators.
Back on here, Mr. Speaker, about a comment that Joe Markosek made, the representative from Monroeville, and he said this proposal that came up last night robs Peter to pay Paul, and the proposal, of course, is a $1 billion loan. I guess from some of these accounts, like for mass transit, environmental protection, and economic development, and he said it robs Peter to pay Paul. I said, no, we're going to rob Peter to rob Peter again, and Paul never seems to get paid. So am I wrong on that?
Gary, you're absolutely right. And Gary, just along those lines, first of all, we have, I know it seems crazy, Quilt, but I mean, this is how it is. The general fund has all these line items of expenditures, much of them for environmental protection, you know, clean water,
right,
clean streets,
sure,
many, many programs. Nobody is taking a single cent. In fact, all those funds got increased in the general fund budget. Where the parked money is outside the general fund.
Exactly.
Budget.
Yep.
It's not part of the general fund budget. It's in these side accounts that got created and have no level of accountability. And people may not know this, but I don't have my sheet in front of me just to double check, but I'm almost positive I have this right. There's a realty transfer tax. 15% of the realty transfer tax that we levy, 15% of the realty transfer tax that we levy in this Commonwealth goes into a fund called the Keystone 93 Fund. It is a grant fund for parks projects in addition to the money that is in the general fund
that's appropriated for that.
Parks and for funds. And it never comes in. That 15% of the realty transfer tax never comes into the general fund, never gets the annual review. It goes into the Key 93, and it is the governor's opportunity to reward certain folks with additional monies outside of the general fund budget. Now, let me
jump in right there real quick, Mr. Speaker, because would someone please tell me why this is not like the biggest scandal in Pennsylvania right now? 218 accounts, all this money sitting there, some of which is being used, I'll grant you. Others of it is not being used at all. And the governor is not willing to go say, we need to take some of this money, or at the very least, somebody go back and do some zero-based budgeting and go back and see all the wasted money we have, which I know Scott Wagner calls all the time. But the idea here that we're not using money that's already sitting there right now, the taxpayers paid once, and now the governor essentially is saying, now let's go have you pay it again, just through a different fund this time. Am I looking at that correctly?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly I think you're right on. And here's the thing, like you said, some of the projects may be great, you know, but, and also by taking one lump sums, those monies are sitting in those accounts, they're off budget. Arguably, they should be in the general fund, those fee and the ones that have fee and tax. Like you said, a fee's a tax is a fee.
Right.
You know,
money's still green.
Your money. It's still your money. And arguably, that should all be coming into the general fund for those that have that. And I'm going to tell you the another one, and our motor vehicle fund is also a separate fund, and that was established by the state constitution back in the 70s. Our we call it the motor license fund. I always call it the motor vehicle fund, but it's the motor license.
Got about 2.5 minutes with you left, so I'll let you kind of use that, okay?
Well, that, you know, gets like $3 or $4 billion annually.
Yeah.
And we increase that gas tax to, we have the highest gas tax in the nation. All that money flows into there. There is an offline mass transit fund. I'm in Pittsburgh. I know how important mass transit is.
Sure.
I'm the suburbs of Pittsburgh. I understand how important it is to Philadelphia. This is not the money coming out of the motor license fund. It is a small portion where significant money is sitting out of an additional fund outside of the motor license fund and out of the general fund.
So in essence, you've got two faucets supposed to be running. One's running, the other one's not working. The money's sitting there. The general fund accounts for one, and these other kind of things are sitting there doing nothing. Am I correct?
Some are doing things.
Some are, but there's an amount of dormant money we don't know about.
Yeah. And some are dormant. That's
right.
Correct. Yes.
So
remember, we already have the general fund and the motor license fund.
Now, why isn't Eugene DePasquale checking into this? Are people like that, because with all due respect, having the state assembly check into how they're not doing the right thing with monies or how accounts are being done is kind of like having the fox checking to see if the chickens are okay in the hen house. So I'd sooner have someone who's supposedly independent looking at all this. About a minute left. Your thoughts on this and what you guys are going to do about this in the long run.
Well, I think two things. First of all, Gene served with me, and he's he's very competent. He's a straight shooter, and I hope that he doesn't play partisan politics with it.
So do I.
The state treasurer has been playing partisan politics.
Right.
And because the treasurer's office kept advancing the money to the governor when he didn't have the money to spend. But that's an aside. Secondly, where does it go? I think there has to be a long-term look. It's opened up that Pandora's box, and I think everybody is now zeroing in on it. I'd love the Auditor General to do the same. And then in terms of just political process, I just want to say your county is an amazing place. You know, you've got the Auditor General, you've got the governor, you've got Senator Wagner, who is an influential force over in the state Senate, a gubernatorial candidate.
Got the appropriations chairman.
You got the appropriations chairman for the House. That county has like significant influence in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We are hoping that Senator Wagner and the Republican senators that voted against the Senate tax plan, 20 of them, including Mike Regan, I know he voted against it, Scott Wagner voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
We are counting on them to take the proposal that was sent over to the Senate and get concurrence on it. That's what we're hoping to happen.
And we'll have to end at that point. I really appreciate your elongated time this morning. Thank you. I know you have a busy day, but.